We are on our last night of healing. Why? Can I ask you all a question? I just want to say this. Why do you all go to the sides? I showered. I did. I showered. Spit zone. I love the spit zone. It's a dangerous place, but somebody's got to be brave. Okay, what's that? Spitting. You, Alisa, I just have some news for you. Are you ready? There is another young lady in our church with your name. Yes. Can you believe that? As I've never heard your name before. Then I walked up and introduced myself to a young lady on Sunday. She said, my name is Alisa. You know, like, Alisa. I said, yes, that's your name. I said, we have another young lady like that. Okay, yeah, like that, you know, the name. So I'm excited. This is our last night on healing. One more chapter. Next week we start tithe, offering, and seed. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. And we already have the theme for 2016. Do you want to hear it? Can't let you. So, okay, here we go. I can't tell you until the first week of January. But it's going to be great. How do I know? Because I know what it is. So, we're excited about what God has been doing this year. This is the year of the kingdom. When you understand truly the kingdom, you know how to live within God's principles. And so, this whole thing on healing is about kingdom. It's not about earthly principles. It's about kingdom principles. We've talked about how you cannot separate the blood, which represents, the blood represents, the blood represents, and the body represents healing. Exodus chapter 12, we see it also in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, where God said, I am the God that healeth thee. That means he's making a declaration of his character and personality, showing that he is Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. By nature, God is a healer. We also see in Psalms 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of our sins and heals every disease. We also know that in Psalms 105, which was also a mirror of what happened in Exodus chapter 12, that they came out of Egypt with the gold and the silver of the Egyptians, as well as there was not one feeble among the tribes. The word feeble there means sick, tired, distressed. And all of Israel, which is about 2.5 million people, plus they were what we called strangers. They were Gentiles who went along with them. There was not one sick among all the tribes. There was not one sick person amongst 2.5 million people. That's pretty good, isn't it? So then we know we also talked about Psalms 107, where God said, I sent my word to heal you. The very word of God. Who's the word? Jesus is the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus, the word of God, even as tonight you're listening and you receive, you can actually be healed without anybody physically touching you. Why? Because the word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the soul and the spirit and the bone and the marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word is alive. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Now, whether you realize it or not, I probably just quoted you probably about 15 verses. That word, you see, when I speak those words, they literally have life to them. They penetrate your spirit. They penetrate your physical body. And God can heal you right where you're at simply by the word of God. We also know, according to Isaiah chapter 53, whose report shall you believe? That he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes you are healed. Now, he could say you are healed, which is present tense, because of the nature of our Father. Who is our Father? Jehovah Rapha. I am the God that healeth thee. So the very nature, character, personality of God the Father is he is a healer. And that's why they could see in Isaiah chapter 53, by his stripes you are healed. Then he goes into Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, which is also repetitive, but coming into Christ's time, dealing with Isaiah chapter 53. Then we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, dealing with communion. We take communion. How many have had communion before? You have a cup, and you also have a juice. The cup represents the blood, which represents, the blood represents, the blood represents. And then you eat a little cracker, the nasty little wafer cracker thing. You eat that little cracker, which represents, it represents healing. Well, why would we take it if it did not come in the same package? All the way back, you cannot separate the blood and the body. So if you believe it's always God's will to heal, we know the Bible declares that it's God's will that all should be saved, that none should be lost. So by very nature of God, if salvation is always God's will, then healing is always God's will. We also know that if Jesus, who was the very form of God on this earth, in the aspect that he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the very Father, that Jesus did only what the Father would have done. If you've seen Christ, I asked you to show me even once in the scripture where Jesus turned away a sick person. You can't do it. Show me once where Jesus said, it's not God's will for you to be healed today. Come back next Thursday. Didn't see that, did you? You didn't hear Jesus say, listen, now that's a tough case. Maybe if you click your heel three times, you might get your healing today. No. What you have is Jesus, as we see in Matthew chapter 8, a leper came down to Christ, and he said, if it be your will, if it is your will you heal me? And Jesus said, let's go, let's get this thing done. Jesus healed him. He asked the question in Matthew chapter 8 that everybody asks, is it God's will to heal me? See, until you rectify that in your own heart, then healing can never be yours. Let me say that again. Until you can rectify in your own heart, if it's God's will or not to heal you, then you can never pray in faith. If God is not moved by hope, but God is moved by faith, yet you cannot pray in faith because you do not believe it's God's will to heal you, then how can you ever get what's yours? See, and this is a very serious problem in the body of Christ, because a lot of people do not believe, because of the bad teaching of the scripture, that it's always God's will to heal. So therefore, you can never pray in faith. You can only pray in hope. You can only get on the little wheel. Ready? Nope. Come on now, that's not how it works. It's either God's will or it's not God's will. Last I knew, God's no respecter of persons. And God doesn't love you any less than he loves me, or me any more than he loves you. He loves us all the same. His promises are yea and amen. More verses, folks. I just popped off another 4 or 5 for you. Though we are based on the word of God. And there's a need for us to really get this, because until you personally believe that it's God's will, you will never act in faith. And if you do not act in faith, then you can only act in hope. If you act in hope, hope does nothing for God. You are in the spit zone. Glory to God. How'd the young man, is he all right? You don't know, you had to move on? Rough shape. Get hit by a car? Young man got hit by a car down in Elmira, and they came across that on the way in. So let's pray for him. Father, we don't know if he's living or dead, but you do. We ask in the name of Jesus, the Lord, if he doesn't know you, that God, the paramedic, will be born again, speak the word into his life. God, we ask in Jesus' name that, Lord, you'll make him healthy, and, Lord, you'll bring him to you in Christ's name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So it's imperative that you believe it's for you. So let's look real quickly, Matthew chapter 8. I'm almost done. I'm not even close, am I? What would you do if I ended at 7:30? You'd be happy? No kidding. I mean, this family traveled over an hour to get here. They want at least as much preaching as just driving time. So everyway, when I preach really long, just blame all the folks that travel the farthest. Figure they deserve every minute of preaching for every minute of driving. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. And when Jesus came down from the mountain, great multitude followed him, and behold, a leper came and worshipped him and saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. So this man asked the question that everybody asks. You've got to ask this to yourself. Is it God's will to heal me? Not, is it God's will that maybe I'll get healed? Maybe if the right speaker comes in and spits on me right, Maybe if I dance around in three little steps and give an extra $5 in the offering, God will heal me. No, you've got to determine that this is God's will for your life. And when you do that, then you position yourself to receive from the miracle of God so that you can accept God's will for your life. There's a bunch of preachers out there that are running around now praying this: Lord, if it be your will, we ask that you would heal so-and-so. Let me tell you something. Anybody prays that over you, you stop them, look them in the eye, and say, don't touch me. You don't have to be nice. No one's asking you to be sweet. Well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. I do. Yeah. I mean, you don't want just anybody praying for you. You know, that's why when I say come around the altar, the people around the altar that we have been trained. We don't just, well, hey, Aunt Susie came into the church last weekend. We wanted to pray around the altar. We do this because we know what needs to be prayed. We know how to pray. There are specific ways to pray to get the answers that God has for you. And if you don't believe, you can't receive. So you've got to determine in your own spirit, this is God's will for me. Jesus died for my sins. Jesus died for my healing. Jesus died to destroy poverty in my life. Jesus did this for me. He did this for the pastor. He did this for Ryan. He did this for Harold. He did this for Lucy. He did this for Betsy. He did this for all the C's. He did this. But he did it for me. Until you grip this, every time you come for prayer, it's going to be, well, I hope it works. Well, I'm going to try it this time. Maybe the new speaker here will get this done. Listen, you don't need a speaker. That's right, you got healed on Sunday, didn't you? You got healed on Sunday. That knee thing, remember I told you right at the point of the knee? That was that young man right there. He got healed on Sunday. Amen? Amen. Honest to God, he doesn't lie. He even still cusses. He's a good man. He's my friend. You all right? That was really good. All right, so I want to go over some basic things. And the first one is, how do I get my healing? So we're going to get a little personal tonight, all right? This is your decision for you. How do I get my healing? Everybody say, how do I get mine? Turn to somebody and say, how do I get mine? Turn to somebody else and say, get your own. This is for me. This is for you. You have to get this. It's not good enough for somebody else to get it. This is yours. You have got to possess this. How many of you know you're saved? How many of you are just still hoping? We're going to have an altar call after. If you're still hoping, you don't have to hope. Just like if you're sitting there and you're sick, you don't have to wonder if it's God's desire to set you free. It is. Turn to someone and say, it is always God's will to heal you. Now, I said some basic things when we first began in the chapter, and I just want to say this. Because of the lies, some people have a harder time being healed. Some people have been taught so badly, so poorly. Yes, and one of the basic ones is, it's not always God's will to heal. When you hear that, especially as a baby Christian, and you allow that to seep in your spirit, it's hard to unshovel that. But you got to. You need the washing of the Word of God. You need to be in the Word constantly. I'm going to give you some book titles that you need to purchase. You need to purchase Christ the Healer. Who has that book? Anybody got that book? Christ the Healer. Of course, Cody does, because he has my Kindle. Christ the Healer. You need this book. If you need healing for a toenail, you need this book. Why do you need this book? Because you must ingest faith. You must devour and eat texts that are going to build your faith. You need this book. Didn't say you should have it. You need it. If you are asking God for a healing or a miracle in your life, you must get this book. Now, amazingly, and I'm just going to be blunt. I'm not good at that, but I'm trying to get better. And that is, if you are sick and you don't get that book, you don't want to be healed. It is that easy. Well, I don't have the money. Sell something. Yeah, come on now. You need this book. Why am I saying you need this? Because this book is penetrated specifically. It's written by T.L. Osborne. It is specific just on healing. Focuses specifically just on healing. Takes you through the Word of God in such depth. Listen, in these classes, I know it's taken 3 weeks, but I can preach healing for an entire year. No, really, I can. I can preach healing for an entire year and not skip a beat. And really, I don't get that opportunity. I usually only get like maybe a month, a year that I can preach healing. R.W. Schambach, when he had his church down in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, preached healing for in every service for all the years he was there. He never buried one person. In this church, we've been here 17 years. We have buried under 10 people in this church in 17 years. Because we believe in healing. Now, we know when somebody gets Ancient of Days that someday it's appointed that a man wants to die and then the judgment. Somebody's going to die someday. But the truth is that I believe a lot of people die early. They die young. They die before their time. Well, you know, the Lord needed another angel. Slap them. When they say that to you, don't be nice. You slap them in the head and you say, back off. I don't need your trash. See, some of us allow too much to be spoken into us. We wouldn't allow someone to hurl a rock at us, but we'll allow somebody to speak words. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Words are more powerful because they're seeds. You've got to govern who's around you talking when it comes to your faith level. Can I hear an amen? Okay, so here we go. Another way, number one, you have to believe that it's God's will for you. Number two, the Bible says, call the elders of the church for prayer. James chapter 5, 14 and 15. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call the elders of the church and let them pray over you, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. The elders of the church are the pastors of the church. If you are sick, watch now. I just want to show you American warped. When people are sick on Sunday, they stay home. Well, I don't want to contaminate anybody. I go to hug people, and they say to me, well, you know, I don't want to breathe on you. I'm sick. I said, you can breathe on me. You want me? I'm going to curse that beast. It don't matter to me because I'm not going to get sick. I'm going to stay healthy. Well, you can't say that. You know, it's just the way it is. Is it just the way it is? Do we have to live according to this world, or are we not of this world? So many of us have bought this world system so deeply that we are willing to contradict the scripture and the word of God so that we can fit into this world. I'm telling you now, God came to give you health. Healing is a benefit. Health is your lifestyle. God wants you healthy. Jesus paid for your health, not just your healing. So this is our right, the children's bread. If your little kid came up to your table, I love Sophia. Where's Sophia? Hi, Sophia. Can you bring Sophia to Grampy? Hi, Sophia. Grampy loves you. Grampy loves you. Now, if Sophia, she was sitting at the table tonight, and actually, I'll just confess on Sunday. We have apples and caramel sauce in my office, you know, between services and stuff. And Sophia's that, you know, she's with her mother, and she's not allowed to have sweets, but she's with Grampy. What do you mean by that? And so she looked at the apple with the caramel on it, and I said, I know, honey, you need that, don't you? So I took a little bit of caramel, and I put it on her lips, and she went. And Mindy looked at me, and she got mad. She said, what are you doing? But when she comes to my house, she can have whatever she wants. I'm going to spoil her rotten. I'm going to give her candy. I'm going to give her cookies. I'm going to give her everything that I would not give my own children. And amen, right, Sophia? She's clapping over there. Yay! Grampy loves you. The bread of the children and grandchildren. You wouldn't let your kid sit there. Oh, please, please, can I have a noodle? Please, can I have a noodle? I'm so hungry. Can I have a noodle?
No, you cannot have a noodle. It is not my will tonight for you to have a noodle.
If you earthly parents know how to bless your kids, how much more your heavenly Father knows how to bless you? Come on now, we're warped here. We got God in this strange little perception in our head. We got to change this mindset. Renew your mind by the word of God. You see, when you call the elders of the church, the Bible says when you call the elders of the church, they'll come to your house. Now, it probably won't be me. Just want to let you know. Not that I wouldn't come to your house, but this is how it usually works in this church because, you know, we're so blessed with a great community and we have such great pastors. If you go to the hospital and I show up, you're probably dying. Just want you to know that. So if I show up at the hospital, just look at me and go, Pastor, I'm dying? And I'm probably going to go, yeah, but we'll pray. We'll pray. It's so funny because I remember Pastor Dan sending Pastor Dan to the hospital and stuff. You know, people, where's Pastor Spencer? And Pastor Dan goes, I'm Pastor Spencer. He has sent me to pray with you. No, I want Pastor Spencer. And then they get to this class, and I simply tell them, if I show up at the hospital, you're probably dying. So Bruce Girardi went into the hospital one time to get his knees done, and I walked into the hospital, and he says, you need to leave, man. It's just the way it is. You got to go. I don't want you near me. Stay away from me. But the Bible says, if you're sick, don't stay home. If you need to be quarantined, we got little doors and places we can stick you. But you need prayer. Well, I prayed once and nothing seemed to happen, so I'm just going to have to deal with this. Go ahead. You know, Jesus prayed for a man twice who was blinded. Did you know that? He prayed for him once. He was blind. Jesus prayed for him once. He says, what do you see? He says, I see men as trees. Jesus said, hold on, let me pray one more time. What do you see now? Oh, I see perfect. You know, Jesus didn't pray. He prayed twice once. Well, why? Because if God starts it, he'll finish it. But what happens is, if you don't get yourself in the position, listen, if you need healing, don't stay home. Call the elders of the church. Have them lay hands on you, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Well, I don't know if that works. And you don't believe in the Bible. We need to get back to the place where, again, we believe in the power of God. We believe in healing. How many of you have been healed of something in this church before? Come on. Come on. Does God heal or not? Well, it didn't work for me. Well, maybe you didn't work for it. You all right? Are you... That's all right. If you go to the cafe, get a latte. Hold on. Microphone, Mr. Microphone. Hold on. You got to have the microphone because the TV folk can't hear you.
A quick testimony of healing. Pastor's sister was up at Corning about 6 o'clock. My wife worked an early shift. She pinched a nerve in her back, and she was walking, looking at her feet this morning. And Sherry saw her and says, hey, can I pray with you? 10 minutes later, And I saw her today. She's totally upright. She says, Amen. You won't believe this. And, of course, I just went to visit her and expected to see her hunched over. She says, guess who I ran into? All day long, she was around believers, and they saw something, and she took it upon herself to pray. And honest to God, it's like here today, healing.
Healing is right here. Amen. You don't need anybody right now. You can have it right now.
Amen.
Well, if the pastor spits on me, then it will work.
Well, listen now. I don't want to hear nothing out of you. Do you realize Jesus spit on two people? I mean, if I spit on anybody, people get mad at me. I did try it once. It didn't go over really well. But, I mean, Jesus did it twice. I figured I should try it at least once. Call the elders of the church. If you're sick, you know, I just found out the other day somebody was in the hospital. And they're out. You know, they're out. I says, you didn't call us. Well, I didn't want to bother you. Well, no, you didn't bother me. You bothered yourself. Because God could have raised you up quicker. You know, you gotta obey the Bible. If you want to be healed, you got to do it the Bible way. One amen. One. Can I have one? Can I have maybe two? The next one is called pray in faith. Trust in his word and covenant promises. James chapter 5, we just read that. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him are amen. To the glory of God through us. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is a mediator of a better covenant, which is established on better promises. The next is, receive and accept the healing in Jesus' name. Matthew chapter 21, 21 and 22 says this. So Jesus answered and said unto them, assuredly, which means without question, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt. Now remember, doubt is your nemesis. Doubt is evil. Let me explain. The reason the children of Israel did not enter the promised land is because of doubt. The reason Jesus, the Son of God, went to his hometown in Luke chapter 4, he did no mighty miracles but just a few healings. Why? Doubt. The Bible says, if you doubt, you cannot receive. So how do you go against doubt? Means you've got to build faith. How do you build faith? With the word of God. This is why the devil works so hard to keep you out of church. This is why, listen now, watch. Last Sunday to this Sunday, there were 105 people who were here last Sunday that weren't here this Sunday. Now next Sunday, no, this is the way it always works. Next Sunday, there'll be another 100 up to 150 people that won't be here that were here this week. Yet when sickness comes to somebody's house, they can't understand why nothing's happening. You must have the word of God. The word builds your faith. When you subtract yourself from the word of God, when you subtract yourself from the foolishness of preaching, when you subtract yourself from the element and the environment that God infuses the very faith of heaven into you. Listen, if faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, as now you're hearing the word of God, faith is being deposited supernaturally in your spirit man. So if it's being deposited in your spirit man, then guess what happens to those that aren't here tonight? There's no deposit. Isn't it crazy, insane. You go to the end of the month and you're low on your bills. So you go to the bank and you write a check for $500. Cash. Hand it to the teller. Why would you hurt my baby? Hand it to the teller, and the teller takes your check, starts processing, and then looks at you and says, there's insufficient funds in this account. And you look at them and say, well, what's your problem? You're a bank, right? Well, I'm sorry, you made no deposits. Well, you're a bank, aren't you? You have all the money that you need. Just give me some of the money. You made no deposits. No deposits. Well, I don't feel good. No deposit. No withdrawal. Well, I'm starting to doubt. No deposit. And we can't understand. It's like, what's wrong, God? Where are you, God? God, I believed in you, and I don't understand why nothing's working. And God said, it has nothing to do with me. I gave you everything you need to succeed. I gave you my son. I gave you the possession of the Holy Spirit. I gave you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I gave you my living, breathing word. I gave you who I am to dwell with you wherever you go. I even gave you Sarge, Thug, Handsome, and Jimmy, the angels' names, you know, that surround you. I've given you everything you need to succeed, but guess what's happened? You made no deposit, but yet you want to take something out of the bank. See, if you're not depositing anything, you're not getting anything out. And so when you skip church,
well, it's just the pastor wants a bigger congregation.
Honestly, I mean, you don't get it. If you really don't get this thing yet. I care more about you than I do about your attendance. Because I know that if you get here, you're going to grow. I know I'm preaching to the choir. Those that are at Rock Solid Faith, you've gone another night out. You're getting fed. But you need to make a determination in your spirit that it doesn't stop after you graduate Rock Solid Faith. That you don't stop because you want to play baseball on a Sunday morning. You don't stop because, you know what, I just don't feel like getting up. I'm going to watch live stream. At times, I really just want to curse live stream. If there wasn't almost 100 people on live stream, I would curse live stream. But we only have one giver on live stream, so we still might curse live stream. What you don't deposit, you don't get. If you're not building your faith by being in the Word of God every single day, then why do you think you can succeed as a Christian? It's delusional. Well, I want to go to heaven. Well, so did the devil. He's not going. Well, I believe in God. James says even the devils believe in God and tremble. It's not like that's a big deal. You can believe in God and still go to hell. As a son or a daughter, you've got to come to the table. Do you remember when King David, he wasn't king yet, Saul was after to kill him. Saul hated David because the Spirit of God came off of Saul and came on David. Remember Saul tried to throw a spear at him, tried to kill him, and then chasing him down? Hated him. But Jonathan, Saul's son, and David were like best friends, BFF. And the king had a table. Now, you need to understand this. To sit at the king's table was an honor above honor. So much of an honor that that setting was set for you. And if you did not sit there, it would not be filled. And so what happened was, David still felt that Saul was after him. So he said to Jonathan, listen, if your daddy's still trying to kill me, I know I'm supposed to be at the table. I know I have a spot at the king's table. But if your daddy's trying to kill me, come out and shoot an arrow in my direction. Saul sat at the table and said, where's David? His seat is set. And rage came upon him, and Jonathan decided he better shoot the arrow. But the issue was, there was a place setting for him. Get out of your head that you just go to church. This is not my house. This is not your house. This is his tabernacle. And the king sets a table every Sunday with the richest food from heaven. You cannot miss the table, or your seat is empty. Where's Larry? Oh, he's hunting. Could you hunt? You might have just missed the word you needed. I don't either. Honestly, you need to get that in your spirit. Because some of you, if you need healing in your body, you've subtracted yourself from words. 2 Sundays ago, I preached on the spirit of infirmity. And some people dealing with sickness in this church, it has nothing to do with a natural sickness. It is an actual demon spirit causing sickness in your physical body. But you'll still try to pray it out. You can't pray out a spirit. You can only cast out a spirit. So you can try to pray out that spirit all you want, but you're going to keep carrying that devil, and he's going to keep causing sickness in your life until you take authority in the name of Jesus and cast that spirit off your body. But you won't know that if you weren't there. You don't mind me just ranting a little, do you? Because honestly, this is the reality of where American Christians are. In other countries, I don't know if you saw it in Romania or not, a lot of countries, they'll walk 4 or 5 hours to hear a preacher preach the word of God. They'll sit cross-legged. You saw that when you went over with, Marilyn Hickey. They'll literally walk, some of them days. Then they'll get down on their, they'll cross their legs in Indian style, sit on a concrete floor for 4 and 5 hours, and if you stop preaching, they get mad at you. They say they want a whole day, 10, 12 hours of preaching. Well, they've paid that price. How many of us really, really want healing? Because if you really, really want healing, you're willing to do whatever it takes to get what you got to get. Can I hear an amen? And that is the truth. A lot of people don't want the things of God. They like the thought that they like the things of God. But they don't really want the things of God, or they'd be willing to pay the price to get the things of God. Well, I thought this was free. No, salvation's free. But it will cost you everything you got. For if you want to save your life, you must lose your life. Faith is not free. The Bible says he gives you a measure of faith. We know that some have little faith. For Jesus said, O ye of little faith. We know that others have great faith. Where Jesus looked and said, Oh, ye, you have great faith. I've not seen such great faith in all of Israel. And then the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. And then what happened? Jesus, the word of God, declares in Romans chapter 10 that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. If you're not in the word, you're not taking your vitamins. If you're not in the word, you're not protecting your faith. If you're not protecting your faith, then doubt will come. If doubt comes, it cancels faith. That's what the word says. It says it right here. I kind of digressed a tad bit, but we'll get back to it. Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but you'll also, if you say to this mountain, a mountain being struggle, strife in any dimension of your life, be removed, be cast into the sea, and it will be done. And whatever things, what's the word whatever mean? Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Now, that's either true or it's a lie. If it's a lie, let's all stop playing games and let's go home. Fair? I'm sure I could find a bonanza playing tonight somewhere. I love Little Joe. I saw a hoss the other day in another cowboy show. It was black and white, but it was another cowboy show. You've got to repel doubt. Doubt has got to be your enemy. Another one you got to do, so here we go. So number one, you must believe it's for you. Number two, call the elders of the church. Number three, you need to pray in faith and trust the word. Number four, receive it, accept the healing in Jesus' name. Number five, read the word on healing to guard against doubt slipping in. You You need to protect yourself from your peoples. Some of you got peoples you shouldn't be listening to. Some of you got peoples that you shouldn't be talking to. Well, I'm even talking Christian friends. People say to me, well, you know, we're all brothers and sisters. We are all brothers and sisters who know Christ. Can I hear an amen? But I don't want to hang out with that brother. There's days you got to make decisions on who you hang out with, because you become who you hang out with. You ever been around one of the Christians that's just negative? You know, I just love the Lord. I love God, but we are all going to die. Yep, you know, I don't know. Cancer will probably come on me and kill me, but I'll serve God. Though he slay me, yet shall I serve him. By the way, that text is completely out of text. Some of the stuff Job said was crazy. Doesn't mean he was preaching the gospel. Well, you know, I'm believing. Oh, I'm hoping with you. Man, you got to stop hanging around the wrong folk. I don't allow anybody just to speak into my life. I'm very peculiar. Excuse me, particular. I am peculiar, but I'm also particular. I am very particular who I allow to speak into my life. I don't just let anybody talk to me. Well, that's kind of rude, isn't it? No, I'll be acquaintance with anybody. But I'm not, listen, if I'm in trouble, I've seen something I really need a miracle for or something to work in my life, do you think I'm going to hang around somebody who's going to pull the faith away and fill me with doubt and unbelief? I don't need someone to placate me. I need a faith friend. I need somebody who I'll say, listen now, this is what I'm believing God for. Well, that's an impossibility. You know, I just think you need to be just realistic, because these things just happened in life. And you know, if you just accept it, then God will give you peace, and my grace will be sufficient for you. Man, that's not a friend. That's an acquaintance. Hi, bye. But you need to surround yourself with faith friends. These are people who believe the word of God like you believe the word of God. These are people who, when you're struggling, they're going to go, hey! When your faith is staggering, they're going to go, hey, in the name of Jesus, I speak faith to your life. And they start quoting the word of God to you, start praying for you, start believing for you. Instead of going, well, let me just cry together with you. Those aren't your kind of aggressive, Mark. That's what I would say to him. That's what I have said to people. Sometimes Christians are so nice. I'm not always that nice. Because if you're there, I don't care if you call yourself Christian. If you're there and the assignment, the devil's used more Christians than he used sinners most of the time. If you're there to be on assignment to steal my faith, baby, I love you, but you better get away. Because I'm not going to be nice. Because I need somebody who's going to have faith with me, not against me. I need somebody who's going to speak life to me and not death to me. I've learned that a long time ago. You just don't let anybody speak into your life. The next one is speak and allow only those who will speak faith to you have a voice. Oh, I jumped one. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it eat its fruit. Stand firm, unmovable in your faith. Romans chapter 4, 20 through 21. He did not waver, talking about Abraham. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised he was able to perform. This is a powerful verse. I'd like you to turn there with me real quick. Romans chapter 4. If you have a pen, I want you to pull your pen out. We're going to play a little bit in the scripture. Romans chapter 4, it's the last book of the New Testament. Anybody got a pen? Okay, here we go. Now let's look at the verse. Now he's talking about Abraham, who was believing God. God gave him a promise that he would give him a son, remember? Well, 20 years later, the promise still hadn't happened. 20 years. Many Christians, they give up after, maybe after a week.
Well, I guess it wasn't for me. Oh, well. I'll just deal with it.
Watch this. Here we go. And not being weak in faith, so I want you to do this. I want you to put your name where it says the word and. Verse 19. Where it says the word and there, I want you to put your name. Or right after and. Here we go, ready? This is what it says. And Michael, not being weak in faith, did not consider his own body already dead. So really, I want you to say this with me out loud, but I want your name in there. And then put your name. Ready? And Michael, not being weak. You gotta read it. Here we go. And Michael, not being weak in faith, did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now I want you to know. He's 100 years old. He's wrinkly. She's 90. Menopause is done. No more hot flashes. No more periods. It's over. Safe. And guess what happens? The promise comes. But the promise didn't come because of a special moment. The promise came, why? Because he refused to allow unbelief to own his life. He said, I will not give up the promise of God. He promised it, even though it's been 20 years. He promised it, I'm not giving it up. Now watch. If he had given it up, what would have happened at 100 years old? He'd have still been wrinkly. And at 90, she would still be without a child. We play a massive part in a miracle and a healing. Let me say it again. We play a massive part. God is able to do a miracle instantaneously. Just as I've seen people get miracles instantaneous, I've seen them lose them instantaneous. Because just like you need faith to get your healing, you need faith to keep your healing and miracle. I've watched people get their healing and miracle and lose it before they're out of the building. I've watched them get up the next day and it's gone. The Bible's so very clear. If God does something for a second, he's not going to stop. His nature isn't teasing. God's not a teaser. He's not teasing you. No, he never tests with what Jesus paid for on Calvary. Thank you for bringing that up. Well, the Lord is testing my life. Jesus will never test you with sin. He will, James chapter 1, if you don't believe that, you can read that yourself. James chapter 1, I will tempt no man with evil. God can tempt no man with evil. Why? Because God isn't evil. And if God uses evil to tempt a person, then he himself is evil. Therefore, he cannot be God. So God will never tempt you with what Jesus paid for on Calvary. He'll never tempt you with sin, and he'll never tempt you with sickness. Because if you truly believe that God is using sickness to tempt you, then you should never pray for healing. Because then you're going against the will of God. You should never go to a doctor, because all doctors are evil. Because what's the job of a doctor? To make you better. How evil a doctor is. See how asinine this is? We buy it, though. So, let's keep going. Here we go. And Michael did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. and being fully convinced that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Therefore, it was accounted unto him for righteousness. So now let's flip it. Ready? Get ready to put your name in. This is what let me read it first, the way we want to switch it. And Michael, being weak in faith, considered his own body already dead, for he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of his wife's womb. Michael did waver at the promise of God through unbelief, and he was not strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And fully not being convinced that God was able to do what he said he was able to, therefore it was accounted unto him as unrighteousness. See the opposite? One pleases God, one displeases God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. What's it say? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For you must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Our faith plays a massive role positioning to receive from heaven. Literally, this is what's happening. When you receive your healing, you're literally reaching up into the eternal. You're reaching up into the eternal, grabbing a hold of your miracle and bringing it down to this earth. Well, you can't do it with your hands. What's happening is you're doing it with your words and your faith in the word. In the spirit, you're reaching up. Life and death are in the power of the words. Remember Jesus went to Nain? Little boy's dead. Told the boy to what? Rise, rise. Well, where's the boy? The boy's spirit is gone. The boy's spirit is not in his body. The boy's body is already there. Listen, if he was already at the funeral, you must understand what that means. The ceremonial process of the Jewish burial system had already occurred if he's at the funeral. They've drained his blood. His body is dead. When Jesus spoke to his body, he wasn't speaking to his physical body. He was speaking into the eternal. And when he spoke into the eternal, the words of Christ reached up into eternity and pulled that boy's spirit out of eternity back into his physical body, and then he rose up. When you get this, it's more than just, well, I hope that when I pray, something happens. It is hope. You reach into the eternal with your faith. And you pull it down. Well, I didn't get a miracle. No. You don't keep praying till it does. Because either you received it or you didn't. It's either yours or it's not. You can't. Why would you beg God? What is he, some warped creature in the heavenlies saying, I want them to beg me? If they beg right, then I might do it for them? Listen, we say we don't believe that way, but let's be honest. That's how we pray. Well, if I pray right, something might happen. Listen, I am the God that healeth thee. He is Jehovah Rapha. It is his passion to heal you. It is his passion to set you free. But we position ourselves either fully to receive or fully to repel. And that's not God, that's us. Listen, if you need a miracle, you should be eating the word every single moment of every single day. Redeem the time, for the days are evil. I mean, you've got a really hammer heaven. It's not that you're begging God, but you're receiving faith. There was you've heard of Joel Osteen. You ever heard of Dodie Osteen? Dodie Osteen is his mom who came down with cancer. And so here's a pastor's wife. Now, Daddy Osteen, how many of you remember Daddy Osteen? Daddy Osteen, man, you need to YouTube that dude's preaching. Daddy Osteen, man, he was Baptist, and then he slipped in the back of a Pentecostal church and accidentally got filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. And so he wrote a whole book. It's called Just Blame Jesus. So his Daddy Osteen, he's preaching the gospel, but his wife gets sick with cancer. So what does Dodie do? She's devouring the word 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. What do you mean? She has to sleep. That's right. She put it on, back in those days, it was a tape. She put the Bible on tape. Boom, the word, the word, the word, the word, the word. Wherever she was, you'd hear the word around her. You'd hear the word around her. You'd hear the word around her. And then God did a miracle. One day I was at Rod Parsley's church, and he was talking about this family, and what they did is they took in children who were crack babies and stuff like that, who were like seriously like incubators, incubation to die, you know, never going to be anything, mentally handicapped because of the drugs of the parents. And he said one day, he had never been to this family's house before, but one day he's driving down the street and it hit him. Go now or you're going to leave a load in your britches. So he pulled into their house, knocked on the door, says, I got to go. Do you mind? Do you mind if I go? He said, I just got to go. Ran into their bathroom, and he says, all you could hear out of this room was the word of, was him preaching. So he got down out of the bathroom, came out, and he looked in, and he said it looked like a neonatal hospital room with incubators and all this stuff, and all these children were in there. And he says, my preaching was coming out of the room. He said, then another time I saw them, and she was pushing a carriage down the road, and he said, my voice was coming out of the carriage. That family had the word being preached, the word being spoken, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The one child that they pointed out specifically was their son, who they said would never, ever, ever get past second grade mindset. You remember the story? That year, he graduated high school with straight A's. Well, why? Because the word, the word, the word. We put so much trash in our lives. We allow so many people to speak death to us. Well, you just got to accept it. It's the way it is. That we actually will start believing the lie rather than living the truth. For it's the truth that makes you free. He never told us to deny fact. He told us to declare the truth. There's power in your words. Be careful what you say. I pray for people, lay hands on them, and I said, you know, I know God just touching you. I could feel the unction of God. If you've ever prayed for folks, you can literally feel the power of God rise up and go out. Your hand is just like a conduit, like an electrical conduit, where you lay hands on people, and you can literally feel the power of God go out of you and into them. You can literally feel it come out, go right down your arm, go right out your hand. That's the power of God. That's called the anointing. And I've prayed for people, and I've felt the power of God. I felt the power of God just go whoosh. And in my spirit, you know, the working of miracles, the gift of faith, I just knew they got their thing. I said, you got it. And they said, I hope so. That was it. Done. Got nothing. You just canceled everything God just did. Well, you know, I don't want to get my hopes up. Then give what you get. The words of your mouth are life and or death for your healing and miracle. If you speak death, you will get exactly what you speak. Well, that's what the word said, right? You eat the fruit thereof. So if you need a miracle, Lord, in the name of Jesus, when hands are laid on me according to your word, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. I thank you that the moment hands are laid on me, I am healed. Lord, I'm not denying what the doctors say. I'm not denying the facts, but I am declaring the truth. By your stripes, I was healed. 2,000 years ago on the cross, I am set free. I am healed. I've got my miracle, and Lord, nothing is going to take it from me. And you start feeding your faith, feeding your faith, feeding your faith, feeding your faith. I'm getting ready to go on an airplane, 17 hours. Now, when you're on an airplane for 17 hours, what happens is, because of the recycled air, they say it drops your immunity down almost 40%. So you know what I'm doing? I've been just, for going on 2 weeks now, been taking all my Shaklee vitamins, my two Vitalese, my two Bs, my calcium. I've been taking my vitamin Cs, and I've been taking, what's that other one? I don't even remember. Oh, my wife's taking the GLAs. Menopause. Why am I doing that? Because when I get on the plane, it's proven fact that if you've built your system up, even though you're going to drop, you won't drop to the place where sickness has an opportunity to land in your body. You got the hiccups. Be careful who you're around. And stand firm. Watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. Don't speak deaf. Don't accept it. Listen, I'd rather die a believer any day than die a doubter. Any day. Well, you know, they believed and they still died. Yes! They fought the good fight of faith. They finished the race. They stayed in faith. I'd rather stay in faith. You need to learn how to be careful. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you speak. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Careful, little ears, what you hear. When you need something from God, man, you don't have the luxury of being foolish. Because the devil's come to steal, kill, and destroy. So how do you keep your healing? Well, just like sin, has anybody ever sinned here before? Anybody ever sinned twice? Does anybody know, pretty much everybody, it is everybody, everybody has a nemesis. They have one sin that they struggle with probably more than others. Listen, I will never struggle with alcohol. I won't be an alcoholic because, honestly, I'm never going to drink. That is not a struggle of mine. I don't go buy a beer tent and go, oh, my God, I need one. I've never taken a drug. Not because it wasn't offered. My father said something to me that made all the sense in the world. I want to enjoy myself, and I want to know who I did it with, when I did it, how I did it, and you can't always do that when you're on drugs or drinking. And if you have to have drugs or drinking to have fun, you're really messed up anyways. There's something wrong inside. So those are not my temptations, but we all have different temptations in our lives. And just like I spoke on Sunday, especially with those demon spirits, have you ever sinned and you asked and you were genuine? You asked God to forgive you. You were genuine. Not everybody's done that before. We could do that tonight. I surrender all. How many of you have ever sinned and you were genuine in your heart and you asked God to forgive you? I mean, you were genuine and you determined that you were not going to sin again. No, you're determined. You were not going to go back into that sin. And all of a sudden, a week later, you're being tempted by the same sin. And, you know, if it's a demon spirit, it's a little bit stronger, and all of a sudden, you're back in the lake. Just as the sin temptation will always come back, the symptom temptation will always try to come back. I'm not sure. Did you get what I said? So if you were delivered, let's say you were delivered from your big toe. Let's say every time you walked, you felt like your big toe was going to shatter. and you came to church, God healed your big toe, you were able to run around the congregation, you were completely set free. It wasn't fake farce, it wasn't a foe, you knew it was a God thing, it was set free, you were a miracle. Ow! You go home that afternoon, and you put your foot down, and you feel that pain hit you. The very moment that that occurs, that's when the spiritual attack has happened. You are now at a crossroads with your miracle. If you say, oh, man, I guess I didn't get it, boom, you have lost it. But the moment it hits you, you go, in the name of Jesus, if God healed me for a second, get out of my toe. I don't care what you are. I don't care what kind of sickness. If God healed me for a second, he healed me for life. Get out in Jesus' name. You'll find that that pain will immediately leave. Because just like the devil will tempt you with sickness, excuse me, with sin, he will also tempt you with sickness. That's why if I don't feel good, I don't run around going, well, I feel like crap today. Well, you know, I just feel so sick, I want to just puke my brains out. I bet it will come right out my nose if I push hard enough. Chunks and everything. If I don't feel good, nobody knows. Now, I fought a serious fight. I'm almost done. A serious life or death fight. Oh, my goodness. It's been almost 8 years. We were in the school system, and I had had a tooth extracted, and I didn't know that it had infection in, and they sewed me up, and I had no antibiotic. Well, I didn't know. I didn't know anything. So here I am about, I don't even know how long it was after the tooth was extracted, but all of a sudden, I'm starting to really feel ill, like really feel ill. Like in 1 month, I lost 30 pounds. Now, I want to lose 30 pounds, but I don't want to lose 30 pounds that way. I mean, I would get out of bed and have enough strength to get to the kitchen table, put my head on the table, and just sit there. And I was seriously concerned. I went to the doctors. They said, your heart is bad. You have heart problems. You're out of rhythm. So my ma, who works in the medical system, said, go get your first initial EKG that you've ever had done. I forget what they call it. It's a special name, she said. And bring it to the doctor and see if it's the same. And it was the same. What's it called? Baseline. And my baseline's always the same. So guess what? It wasn't the heart. Then it was GERD. Nope, it wasn't GERD. Yeah, it was sepsis. I was like, I would be preaching the sermon. And no one would know. No one would know. No one knew I was sick except my wife. And we were both praying in faith. And I literally would be preaching the sermon, just like I do every Sunday. And I would grab a chair in the middle of the sermon and sit down as an example. I would create an example where I had to sit down. Or I had to lean against something. Because if I didn't lean, I was going to fall over. I was that sick. And I just continued speaking against it. And the Holy Spirit told me, go to this holistic doctor. And I went to this lady, and she held my arms up, and she did her little thing with Jiggy Bob. She's a Christian lady. And she said, oh, my goodness, you're filled with infection. What's going on in your life? I said, well, I had a toothache. She said, if you went another day or two, you might be dead. She said, so here, let's do this. And she started filling me with a bunch of stuff that worked on my liver and da-da-da-da-da-da. And literally within not too long, I was feeling great. And ultimately, I was on my way out. But I didn't run around telling everybody, well, I'm sick as a dog. I think I'm not going to preach this Sunday. Baby, I'm never going to let the devil win. I don't care how sick or how bad I would feel. I'm going to kick him in the face, and I'm going to keep going. For sickness is never from God. It might be from a natural cause, but God is my healer. And I refuse to allow sickness ever to control my life. Ever. I've been preaching now for 27 years. I've only missed one service. And I gave that example last week is when I got overcome. And I went back the next night, and I preached, and the lady got healed of leukemia. Because I told the devil, you took me out of one service, now you're going to pay for that beast. I want you to know that you cannot allow your words to disengage you from your miracle. You cannot allow the thoughts of your mind to control, take into captivity every thought and imagine that would raise itself up against God. You must be firm. So you must surround yourself with firm people. So some of you need new friends. Now, if you're married to that person that is giving you the problems, love them. Put the scriptures on at night and help them. And then at times, just tell them to be quiet. You know, I'm believing God. If you don't believe God with me, then you just need to be quiet. We're married. We can't unstick ourselves. So be quiet. Got nothing good to say? Say nothing at all. Be careful, because it's important that you don't lose what God's given you. Amen? Does anybody have any questions? This concludes. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead. No, there is another one. Yeah, I just don't remember the name of it, so. Thank you. Amen. It's from F.F. Bosworth. What's it called? That's Christ the Healer? What's the other one? Healing the Sick by T.L. Osborne. F.F. Bosworth, Christ the Healer. Listen, I would devour both of those if you're ill. If you're believing God for any miracle, I'd eat those. Yes. Second row. We have a question on the second row. Your in-law.
Don't you think that a lot of these people that get prayed for and say, well, I hope it works, is out of ignorance? That they
absolutely.
They haven't been taught.
Absolutely. And the problem with ignorance is it doesn't change the reality.
No, but they do it out of ignorance because they haven't had teaching.
Absolutely. And the problem is they'll still lose their miracle, and I blame the preachers.
2 years ago, I would have said probably.
Yep, and I blame the preacher.
So that's
the difficulty. Listen, folks, what you're getting in these classes, it's rare in church, baby. Rare in church. Questions? No questions? It was done that well. Glory be to God. Tonight we want to pray for people. Brother Keeney, could I put you on some nice, like, Jesus music? While he's putting on some Jesus music, does anybody have any questions? Well, let's pray for the folks that are online. If you're online right now, you're watching by live stream, and you need a healing or a miracle in your life, I want you to reach out and I want you to touch your computer screen. Why is that? Because you need a point of contact to release your faith. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I release the gifts of healing and the working of miracles right now through that television camera. Father, I thank you that there's no distance in prayer. I curse right now in Jesus' name sickness and disease. And Father, speak forth the miracle that they're believing for, even financial, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you for the testimonies that will be brought. Now, I believe also tonight, I'm just going to tell you what I was feeling while I was preaching. Somebody has serious right shoulder problems. It's on the inside. It's like right through here. It goes underneath the arm and everything. It's all the way around your entire shoulder. If that's you, God's going to heal you tonight. God's going to heal other people tonight. But what happens is with the gifts of the Spirit, sometimes you get a little bit of a benefit, but you still got to have faith to keep it. Amen? So tonight I want to pray for you. If you're sick and you want healing in your body, I'm going to pray for you. Now, we do this together. You have faith to receive. I have faith to release. Well, what do you mean you release? Well, the Bible says the gifts of the Spirit flow through people. And so we're going to release the gifts of the Holy Spirit tonight. And if you need healing in your body, God will heal you. Amen? Do you believe that? Amen. Let's all stand to our feet.